Okay, this is the podcast that's going to introduce existentialism. Existentialism is this movement that starts in the middle of the 20th century. It's a philosophical movement. It's a new way of looking at humanity's place in the world. It shares some characteristics with modernism in terms of a literary movement, but really it's more philosophical. As the very first statement on the webpage says, that it takes its name from its guiding phrase that existence precedes essence. For the history of Western thought, right, from the pre-Socratics on, the idea was always that there's this human essence, this human nature that we are born into. And the existentialists said, well, you know, human nature is difficult to define. In fact, it's undefinable. We can't really find like the logical characteristics of all and only. Name something that all human beings have and only human beings have. You'll find it's impossible, right? So they say there's no stable human essence or nature, and there's no, therefore, intrinsic or natural human values. So what it's up to us to do is develop our own, to find our own. You can't look for meaning for your life or find a purpose for your existence outside of yourself. You have to name that for yourself. And so here are some of these, the big characteristics of existentialism. The first is that reality defies ultimate comprehension, right? We're just, as this says, our presence in the here and now precedes and takes precedence over any presumed absolute values. If you give in to somebody who says, this is what you're supposed to do, or this is what morality says you should do, then you're giving up part of your humanity, right? Reality has a problem. We're never going to fully understand it, right? It's the idea that if an afterlife doesn't exist, we'd have to invent it because we're naturally curious. We want answers to things. We want to understand things, but reality as it exists makes no sense for us, right? As they say, there are no transcendent absolutes. You could give in to illusion if you choose to, but that's pretty bad. And you're never going to reason your way there because reason isn't enough for understanding this world, right? We're not just thinking beings like the Enlightenment said we were. We don't make moral decisions or practically any decision based on just our thought. We also want things. We also desire things. We also feel, right? We have more than a mind, right? And only when you do all three things, use your desire, use your feelings, and use your thought, your rationality, can you live wholly and authentically. And that thought or those feelings or those will, they don't do any good. They don't do you anything unless you actually act on them. Right? It's Candide's move, right? It's Voltaire's move in Candide, right? That if you just speculate on things, if you're just thinking about things and spinning your wheels, you're going to get absolutely nowhere, right? Thought has to have a bearing on life. Right? Actions without thought are meaningless, but thoughts without actions are meaningless as well. As human beings, as I said in the beginning, right, we're unique, and human nature, that all and only, right, it isn't fixed, it isn't constant. Each of us is unlike every other one of us, right? You need to claim your own uniqueness, and maybe this is a little too romantic for you, but you need to determine what is true for you. I'm not talking about the sense of alternate facts or anything like that, but the fact that if you let your life be set up by a mental outlook that is imposed upon you by others, you become less than human. You give up this idea of claiming your own nature. Now, there are limits to this, of course. You can't will yourself to grow a third arm or something like that, but you can obviously claim what is true for you, claim what the guiding principles of your own life, if you use your emotions, your desire, your will, and your rationality it doesn't matter if it, that's different for everybody else. You get to claim your own. See, and here's the fundamental problem, is that we're alone. Right? The universe doesn't care who or what we are. And death is kind of ever stalking us. You might get anxious, you might get depressed because of this, but there's a silver lining to this. We may be alone, and we may never be able to experience the world the way another person experiences it. I think we can get close sometimes. But this aloneness means that not only do we not, you know, all the negatives that come with that, but there are positive things that come with it, this too, right? Existence is absurd, right? There's no external, extrinsic purpose to our existence in the universe. We're here, right? We don't know, and we'll never find out why. Why are we here? How did we get here? Oh, I can tell you the biology, and I can give you lots of reasons that people make up for it, but that's just it. They're made up. Think of the eternity of time, right? 13.4 billion years that passed before you existed, and the eternity of time that's going to follow after, right? What the sun is going to supernova in roughly 7 billion more years. The short duration of our existence seems trivial, inexplicable, insignificant, right? Life is absurd, and you realize it, and you move on past it. Just because you're small and insignificant doesn't mean you don't matter, though, because here's the kicker, right? Both of those things about being alone and existence and being absurd, right? Both of them allow us to be fundamentally, unalterably, and kind of irrevocably free. If we face the fact that existence is purposeless and absurd, we get to choose what our life means. At every millisecond, you can choose to radically alter or change or even end your life. Right? You have a myriad of possibilities, and you get to determine then who you are. Right? And we do it every day. You're listening to this right now. Why? Is it because you really want to learn the fundamental tenets of existentialism? Is it because you really want to understand world literature? Or is there some further goal in mind? To become a well-rounded human being, that's a great goal. How about to get this gen ed class out of the way? How about one of 100 different reasons? But you get to choose it. And every action you do is made by your choosing. And here's my take on this is, you could choose a faith. You can choose a vehicle for understanding this world. You can choose a hope that there is something else. But those are all choices. Those aren't facts, right? That's not knowledge, right? The difference between faith and knowledge is you can't deny knowledge. You can deny faith. Faith is a choice. Faith is an act of the will. Knowledge is an act of the intellect. And you can choose whatever you'd like. But the existentialists say you get to choose, right? At least acknowledge the fact that you're making a choice. You become more human just by acknowledging the fact, by not accepting that which is thrust upon you. You can end up choosing it, but don't accept it originally because you end up denying your own humanity. And if you think this is all about subjectivity, well, yes, in some way it is. And kind of moral individualism, yes, it is that too. Neither of those are problematic. You get to, every action you do has a consequence. If you choose the action, it means you're willing to suffer that consequence. And that action can be what others determine to be good or bad, or they deem in their moral calculus to be good or evil. What does it matter to you as long as you're willing to abide by the consequences of those actions that you have chosen?